Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Just one verse for our opening reading. Let's stand together. Luke, chapter 6, and verse 46. Luke 6, 46. Title of our message comes from this verse. We'll see it in just a moment. Verse 46, Jesus speaking. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The last 2 weeks we've had hard words that Jesus spoke. Today we have a hard question. As I read this verse once again, would you please read it with me? Verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for second chances and opportunities. We ask, Lord, now that you would bless this service. May your will be done. May the Spirit move. And may there be joy in heaven over what is accomplished today here. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Beginning at verse 39. "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the heart good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In verse 39, we find a spiritual condition described using a physical condition, that of blindness. We live in a world today of spiritual blindness. We live in a world today that is more concerned about the society and being politically correct than being correct and being right with God. May I say this? Most times when someone says they must be politically correct, they simply aren't correct. They're wrong. And we find here a blindness, and our enemy, the God of this world, desires humans to be spiritually blind, hoping all will fall into the ditch. I would say Gehenna. A Gehenna, literally the valley of Hinnom, just west of Jerusalem. It was a place of burning refuge and dead bodies. And it readily became the symbol for hell and everlasting punishment. It was a terrible place. It was a ditch where people would cast off what they didn't want. And we have those who were falling off into the ditch of things unnecessary and unneeded. We find in verses 41 through 45, the great teacher come from God, our Savior Jesus Christ, uses common illustrations impressing upon the hearts of men the profoundest truths. He speaks of a mote and a beam. He speaks of good trees and bad trees, of thorns, bramble bushes, and figs and grapes. He talks first here about the mote. Shall we say a splinter? And someone has a splinter in their eye, and we think immediately, oh, that has to hurt. But we're talking about the spiritual eye, and then there is the one that has this great big beam. Now, these are beams up here above our head. They're pretty big, aren't they? Now, I wonder how big a beam the Lord is referring to. How large a beam. Well, we can see this person that has this little splinter in their eye and this guy with the beam in his eyes trying to reach out and take out the splinter. It's almost humorous. He's going to beat the poor guy to death with the beam in his eye trying to get to that little splinter. But Christ deals with the state of the eye. With the eye, we become judgmental. With the eye, we become uncharitable. You ever look down on somebody because when you looked at them, you thought, well, they're not worthy of, well, even being in my presence. We become vindictive. We see someone do something and we want revenge because of what they did. We become jealous because our eye gate has led us in the wrong direction. We become prejudiced. We become materialistic. We look where we shouldn't because the eye is not right. The cure is to pull out the beam so that we can be right in our spiritual outlook. Christ deals with the state of the heart, the good treasure of his heart, or the evil treasure of his heart. But if our heart is not right, it becomes unfruitful. If our heart is not right, it becomes materialistic. If our heart is not right, we plead entitlement. We are entitled to this. We live in a world where people feel entitled. They feel that they just simply should have a certain things. From the evil heart, there comes weakness. Oh, those who have a good heart. Thank God for those who have hearts that have been touched by the Lord. They have given their heart over to Jesus, for he alone can repair the hurting heart. Jesus alone can be the one that can heal the heart that has been corrupted by sin. We find that he talks about producing good fruit and producing evil fruit. What type of fruit are we producing today? What are we producing for the cause of Christ? What are we producing that will receive honor and glory? What are we producing that will receive these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? But the remainder of our message today will be on the last few verses, beginning at verse 47, and let's read them down through verse 49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. The house, may I say this, the house can represent three different things. The house, it can represent the church. We are the house of God. We must be built on the right foundation. It is your house, family. On which, what is your family built upon? Too many people in America today, their house is built on material things. We live in a world that is in debt because they believe material things is what's going to bring happiness. And you know what? It doesn't. But then your own physical house, this body in which your spirit dwells, where have you built that house? May we note in verse 37, there are three words that characterize a wise man. Whosoever cometh to me. Have we come to the Lord? Now, just because you're in church today doesn't mean you've come to the Lord. But have you come to the Lord? And heareth my sayings. Are you willing to listen to the Lord? And then the third one, and doeth them. You know, a student can be sitting there in class, and the teacher can say, we are going to be having a test on Friday, and you need to prepare for the test, and these are the pages you need to read, and you need to take a look at the notes that we have given, and you need to go over your notes, and you need to do this, and the student could be writing down test on Friday. Read pages 105 through 150. Look at notes. Study. Now, just because he did all those things, does that mean that he will actually study? No. He has good intentions, but he doesn't study. And many a student is that way. And many a Christian is that way also. Jesus says, whosoever cometh to me, and we need to come to the Savior. Notice, and heareth my sayings, we need to hear him as a teacher. And doeth them, we need to obey him as master. But let me ask you, when it's all said and done, whose final decision is it? It's our decision, isn't it? It's our decision. I can get up here and beat upon the pulpit and sweat and have tears falling out of my eyes, and I can just run up and down the aisles, and I can just be all excited and put on a good show, and you could say, wow, what a great sermon. Could you see his energy? But it wouldn't mean anything, and I'm not going to do all those things, folks. I mean, after all, I'm 60. I can't do those things anymore. But the final conclusion is this. It's your choice. You have to make the choice. We see in this parable two builders who represent the conditions of men. Those who live by faith on the Son of God, and those who walk in their own sight and in their own light and decide which way to go. Let us observe the wisdom of the obedient. Note, he is a wise man. You know, there are those who think they're wise, but they're only wise in the eyes of mankind. But we need to be wise in the eyes of the Lord. We find that he dug deep to the bedrock and laid his foundation upon the rock. This church, when it was built upon a foundation. A slab of cement was laid in the ground, and cement was put in with steel bars, and the church is built on that foundation. How important it is that we build our spiritual lives, our families, and even this church on a strong foundation. The Word of God. You know what's sad is there are many churches today that the Word of God is seen but never heard from. They might use part of a verse and then that's all. But we need to have the Word of God as our foundation. We need people and families that are in the house of God, listening to the man of God as he preaches and speaks. And the wise man does not put his faith in man, but in the Lord. May I say this, I've said it before, the problem with America today is not economical. Our problem is not the economy. Our problem is moral. Our problem today is that we have forsaken the Word of God and we have looked in other directions. We are a society that thrives on entertainment. But the fact of the matter is we need to be in the Word of God. Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. And many are doing just that, nothing. We see that when the flood rose, count on it, the floods of life will come. Difficult times will come. Floods rush down the slopes in rocky Palestine, sweeping everything in their paths away. Life has its disasters. If not firmly anchored, it will be swept away. Are we anchored to the Lord? The stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it. May I say this, Satan's desire is to shake your faith. Satan's desire is to get you to walk away from church and to walk away from the Word of God and to put your eyes on other things. And these other things are shakable. And they will fall when the floods come. This house was not shaken because it was founded upon a rock. Let us look briefly at the foolishness of the disobedient found there in verse 49. Number one, he heard and did not follow instructions, advice, or directions. He heard. Number two, he built, but not on a firm foundation. It says that he built upon the earth. Mankind builds upon his own knowledge and his own way of thinking, which is no foundation whatsoever. Number three, the floods of life will come, and they will beat against us. Difficulties do come. Life is not, what do they call it, a rosy bowl of cherries. This past Monday, my wife convinced me that I needed to go blueberry picking. And I looked at the weather, and it was raining in Sterling Heights. And so she called the place where the blueberries would be picked, and they said, oh, it's not raining up here. And so Donna said, let's go. She was excited. Oh, I was just full of enthusiasm. So we drove, and it was raining. In fact, Donna said, oh, it's raining. I thought, well, it's been raining. We drove further north, and it began to slow down. And finally, we drove out of the rain, and she said, see, it's not raining. So we got to the blueberry place, and we went in, and they told us to get in the back of this pickup truck, and we drove out, and they just have acres of blueberry bushes. And she had two buckets, and I had a bucket. And I said, why do you need two buckets? And she goes, well, I only fill the one up so much, and then I keep filling up the other bucket. And I said, just as long as you don't expect me to keep up with you. And so we'd gone out with four people. It was a grandma and grandpa and two boys. And so they're over here doing their thing, and I'm over here doing my thing, and Donna's over here doing her thing. And a couple of times she called out, Paul, and I said yes, and she goes, I just wanted to make sure you were still here. I don't know where she thought I was going. Well, it began to sprinkle. And the grandma says, oh, it's sprinkling. We better go. And about that time, here comes the pickup truck, And Donna says, well, we can pick blueberries in the rain. You know what? She's absolutely right. You can pick blueberries in the rain. And it did stop raining, didn't it? And she's having a great time. And I'm picking blueberries. Now, we don't pick blueberries the same. She just grabs them and just yanks all the blueberries off and throws them in the bucket. I look at the biggest one in the group and take off the biggest one and move along. How many blueberries did I pick? A half. I picked half a bucket. Half a bucket. How many blueberries did she pick? A bucket and a half. Yes. But you know, I followed her advice. She said we should go blueberry picking. You know what's good now? We got all those blueberries. What if we hadn't gone blueberry picking? We'd have gone and bought some from Kroger's, right? But she said, no, these are fresh, these are organic, these are healthy, these are good. I listened, we have blueberries. You know, there are those of us, we want the blueberries, but we don't want to do anything about it. We want the prize, but we don't want to do the work. Do you want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Is that your desire, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will an idle servant ever hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will an idle servant? He'll never hear that. Will a servant that isn't doing anything ever hear his master say, well done? Will the one who built upon the earth ever hear, well done? No. Only the one that has built upon the rock will hear, well done. We find that they built the house on the earth and it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It was great. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat violently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. What is the final flood that's going to come our way? Death. Death is coming. Do you realize that one out of one die? One out of one. And if we have not built our house upon the rock, the fall will be great, and the ruin of that house will be total. Where have you built your spiritual house today? Shall we stand together? 375 will be our song of invitation, Just As I Am. Have you come to Jesus? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? And if you have come to him, are you busy about the Master's work? Are you busy doing his service? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move and prick hearts. We ask, Lord, that when people leave today, there will be a new desire in their heart. May we build, Lord, upon you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.